When an American speaks out against radical Islamists and their allegiance to Sharia law, that American is quite often called intolerant, a racist, Islamophobe as well by everyday people, the media, and even some elected officials. My next guest says that this is a dismissal of people with a belief system that, as we've seen, violently places the lives of others at risk. She wrote about this in a recent column in USA Today. She's also authored the book Shariaism is Here, The Battle to Control Women and Everyone Else. And we say good morning to Joy Brighton. Good morning, Joy.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
It's joybrighton.com on the web. And, you know, this is a timely topic to talk about because, obviously, we're here in the New York City area, and we just had the arrests of people who three people who were planning to join ISIS who were being dismissed as, I think I heard one so-called expert of terrorism in Boston call them the Three Stooges of terrorism. And my response is, yeah, well, remember Adam Lanza up in Newtown, Connecticut? He was just old crazy Adam. He used to sit around his mom's basement, play computer games, and people dismissed him, too. And people, through this dismissal, they're empowering some pretty dangerous situations, aren't they?
This whole idea that these are just lone wolves, these are just individuals who somehow wake up one day, see a video on the internet and decide that they're going to hike over to Syria or they're going to behead someone in Oklahoma is complete nonsense. And it's very, very dangerous nonsense. The fact of the matter is that this is all about the Muslim Brotherhood. ISIS, Taliban, Al-Qaeda, they are all faces of the Muslim Brotherhood, which has been growing very strong roots throughout the globe and in America for at least 20 years.
There are, by some reports, a couple of hundred Americans who have tried to join ISIS. Best estimate is about two dozen of those are actually fighting in Syria for ISIS. And when you think of the Middle East and the way that the extremism is spreading, that extremism brings with it what you wrote about recently, Sharia law.
Exactly. I mean, you know, I know everyone's focused on these 2,000 Americans going over to fight ISIS again. I have to bring everybody back to the United States. The fact of the matter is that the Muslim Brotherhood is the monster. ISIS is just one head of it. Let me tell you where there is a hotbed of Islamic extremism, and that is our U.S. prison systems. Year in and year out, this is a fact, this is a known statistic. As of now, 15% of the entire U.S. inmate population in U.S. prisons are converting to radical Islam year in and year out. We're talking about 35,000 to 40,000 generally men being released from prison. That's a heck of a lot more than 2,000 people over in ISIS. These are people who have been taught anti-Americanism, hate, that radical Islam allows them to control others, to control their wives and their children, and to hate America and to justifiably hurt or kill infidels. The man who beheaded his coworker in Oklahoma converted to radical Islam in U.S. prison. The guys who took a hatchet to some New York City police officers, NYPD rookies, converted in U.S. prisons to radical Islam. This is a pattern that we see again and again and again, which is not being reported in the papers.
And let's not forget the Fort Hood so-called workplace violence incident.
That's right. That's right. We have got this problem is not going to be handled by our government. It's pretty clear we have a government who refuses to even to say the word Sharia out loud or Islam or radical Islam or jihad. The only way that we are going to beat this is at the local level. And I think it's important that we all take a deep breath and realize that we can protect America, but we're going to have to do this ourselves. And the first thing that we have to do is we have to be willing as individuals to say, yes, I am afraid of Islam, or as I like to say, I'm a Sharia-phobe. Islam, you want to practice your faith and have individual rules that you follow as an individual, I'm fine with that. But you want me not to criticize your prophet under threat? You want me, to not to discriminate, not to offend your religion in any way. You want my law enforcement to have Islamic sensitivity training? No. Now you've crossed the line. That's control. I am a Sharia-phobe. Sharia law is the problem, and it is here in this country, and it's here under the network of the Muslim Brotherhood, which has many, many, many local groups, not just radical groups like ISIS.
Talking with Joy Brighton. Her book is Shariaism is Here, The Battle to Control Women and Everyone Else, joybrighton.com on the web. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. And it's not just here through the Muslim Brotherhood, Joy. There was a court case, I believe it was late in 2013. Both the plaintiff and the defendant were Islamists and Muslims. They were followers of Sharia law. The U.S. judge overseeing that case allowed them to have the case ruled under Sharia law. In addition to that, a Sharia law center is in the process of being organized and launched in, of all places, the state of Texas.
That's right. Well, you know, there are things that are being called, there are laws that have now passed in about 8 or 10 states, which I call liberty laws, because what it says is the case that you're referring to was a case in which a couple was married in Morocco. She was 17. He was older than that. They came to live in New Jersey. He was repeatedly forcing her to have sex, which is known as marital rape in this country, which is a criminal offense. They went to court, and the judge said this man didn't realize that this was a crime in this country. Under his law of Sharia, he has the right to ask his wife to do anything at any time, and he wasn't even given a restraining order. The only reason that was overturned at the appeals level, but let me say, how many people actually go to appeals? This woman was deathly afraid to go to the lower court in the first place. She had a large support system. She had lawyers going to her and saying that the law was on her side. She had a lot of support. But she was, you know, she was coaxed into, okay, let's try to appeal this. And upon appeal, the appeal court said, wait a minute, marital rape is a criminal offense under U.S. law. We live in America. This is U.S. law. And they issued the restraining order and called it marital rape. But had she not done that, that precedent at the lower court level, which is so important, the idea that precedents are being set in our own U.S. courts that are allowing Sharia law to be upheld in cases when it clearly violates that person's individual liberties is an enormous problem. And these laws are being called by the guys who are shouting Islamophobia, they're being called anti-Sharia laws. Fine. You want to call them anti-Sharia laws? I call them liberty laws. Okay, we need to start calling a spade a spade. We have to stop being fearful of the language that we're using and use language that is true and language that we believe in. Because weakness and appeasement is the worst thing you can do with a group like that operates under Shariaism, which is like communism, which is like Nazism. This is radical Islam, which operates on the basis of a Sharia manifesto, Sharia law, Sharia law says, we control you and everyone else. We control your religion. We control what you say and how you say it. We control our women. We can control our girls. We control free speech. So we are dealing with, you have to think Nazism, you have to think communism, and this is very, very, very serious. We have a government who refuses to recognize it. At the local level, we have to take this into our own hands.
Wrapping our time with Joy Brighton, author of Shariaism is Here, The Battle to Control Women and Everyone Else, joybrighton.com, the web. You're listening to Issues and Ideas, and you bring it to the people at a very important level, Joy, because when normally radical Islam and Sharia is talked about or thought about, presented, it's on the grand scale of acts taking place in foreign countries that can be dismissed by others as saying, well, it's over there, it's not over here. But Sharia applied in personal lives in arranged marriages, which is an organization that was launched here in New Jersey, by the way, to help women who were forced into arranged marriages get away from their husband, for lack of a better phrase, and recover and start building a life of their own, much like a domestic violence organizations do. It's important for the people to realize just how sweeping of an impact Sharia law has when it's applied at this level of person to person, not country to country. But, you know, as far as a step and a solution, what can someone do? Because one of the common complaints is, where's the moderate Muslim voice that should be leading the way against this?
Well, they're not leading the way, so I think we have to get off of that. They are not leading the way, and, you know, there's a message in that. So we need to do something ourselves. Here's what we need to do. You know, if you're not sure what Muslim Brotherhood groups there are and which ones are in your area, and believe me, they're all in your area, you just have to go on the Internet and Google up Muslim Brotherhood groups in wherever you're living, and they will pop up. You have got to make sure that you write letters to the editor, local newspapers. You have to reach out to your school boards, your police stations, your hospitals, your businesses, your churches, and say, we cannot engage with these people. They are not about interfaith dialogue. Interfaith dialogue is a two-way dialogue. This is a one-way street. This is our way or the highway. I mean, it's actually a lot more serious than that. So at the local level, we have to educate these institutions, our local institutions, that these are Muslim Brotherhood groups that are committed to having Sharia law in our country. They are committed to not to living by U.S. law. They're committing to having everyone follow. They're committing to controlling everyone. And remember, Muslim Brotherhood, the network itself, is committed to everyone living under Sharia law. However, there's many ways to skin the cat. You know, some of their groups, like ISIS, believe in horrible, barbaric things. Okay, other groups, like the Council of American Islamic Relations, believe in Islamophobia campaigns, threatening, intimidating, racism. They are just as effective, probably more effective, in a country like ours. Remember, Nazism was voted into power. So was communism. Okay, so when we start getting used to not offending the Prophet, not offending Islam, we have to be more sensitive. When we have our own groups in our churches doing interfaith dialogues, learning that Islam is everything peaceful, and no one's talking about radical Islam, no one's really talking about what's happening in the world today, slowly people are getting inoculated. They're getting, okay, well, I guess everything's okay. You've got people converting to radical Islam in prisons. You've got immigrants coming over, and some of them are believe in this very extreme way of life. And slowly but surely, we're building a demographic of people who are going to vote this way of life into our system. That's how it happens in a democratic society. And we have got to stop this at the local level.
And the path for radicals is to infiltrate every way you can, lie if you need to, and then take over. That's the modus operandi of radicals, in this case with the radical Islam and the believers of the Sharia law. Her book is Shariaism is Here, The Battle to Control Women and Everyone Else. Find more about her work and more about what we talked about here at her website, joybrighton.com. Joy, you are speaking the truth. A lot of people are afraid to do that. I'm glad you're not, and thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks so much for having me. Take care. Bye-bye.